Hello everyone, welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dead gum gardening show on the internet, might I add. We're changing it up a little bit for you guys tonight. Trav's out sick, and don't panic, he don't have COVID. He went and got tested, he tested negative, but he's got some junk going on up here, sinus infection, he's laying low. And we have a fill-in, Miss Hoss is here. And she's quite an accomplished gardener herself, are you, girl?
I am. I have raised beds.
So years ago, I built her a raised bed garden down at the house, and that's her garden. She gets to grow like she wants to, and we call it the kitchen garden because we'll grow things down there that's easily accessible that you may need just a touch of to finish your dish out, so we have it close by there. And you grew up on a farm.
I did.
You ever milked a cow?
I milked a cow, had chickens, had calves.
Pretty decent cook.
Yeah.
What you got over there?
This comes from the garden this week, and it's what I feed you when you're on a diet. Several people worry about your intake and if you're eating enough. So this is carrots and some turnip roots and some beets.
Pretty much what we call the garden medley. So you just go out there and scavenge around and see what's going on. We got the notes mixed up there. Yeah. So go out there and see what's ready to get it out. Throw it in the pot and put your little chicken broth in there and boil it up.
Actually, it's chicken broth, and I use some honey ginger, white balsamic vinegar, and Cavendish
on everything. Pretty doggone good. Look at those purple carrots here. That's the purple haze, I believe, isn't it?
Look at that. What are those?
Watermelon. Yep, I believe a watermelon radish is right.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, folks. That is packed full of flavor right there.
And this is a turnip root.
Turnip roots, yep. Mm-hmm. Turn a little purple on you and over that purple haze.
Yeah.
Add a little color to it. So anyhow, we eat this a lot. So we call it the medley out garden. Go out there and just forage around, find what's ready. So let's talk about our greenhouse, what we got going on there. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all, folks. It's been one of the roughest years I can remember in a long, long time. Now, I know it's probably been this wet before, but I'm having a hard time remembering it. I don't remember in the last 25 years not having my potatoes planted this time of the year. We just got 3 inches of rain just a couple of days ago. Still wet. We got water pouring out of the hills. So it's challenging right here. You know, we started our transplants in the garden like we normally do around the 10th, 15th, and they're pretty much ready to go. We got a lot of plants that are mature, need to be put in their forever home that we can't quite get there yet. I just started my watermelons about a week ago. I was late doing that. I planted me 2 flats of my baby dolls, and I always wait a week after that, and I plant me a backup plant to that. So I always want to have a backup plant and the transplants, watermelons, just in case. But we're running way behind this time. It's going to be a challenging year in the garden, it appears. We're all going to be late if we're even there. I mean, it may be a point we just have to give up on some things. At this point, I'm worried about my potato plant is still wet out there, and it's got to dry out. I mean, we're on a hill, too. And I know by watching the orders, a lot of y'all are having the same issues we are. Regardless where you're at in the country, you probably got some kind of challenge. But here in the South, we have been faced with some rainfall like not we've seen in years. So we're really wet. We can't get in the garden. We can't work it. We're behind on schedule. However, that sun comes up, the wind blows a few days, sap starts rising. Hopefully the ground will clear out.
I've got my raised beds ready. I gathered my carrots, my beets, my cabbage, my Brussels sprouts, tilled it all up a little bit with a hoe, put some compost in there, ready to go.
You know, that's the great thing about raised bed garden. They do dry out quicker in the summertime, but when you have a lot of rain, as we've had, you can get in there and work them, and you can plant a lot sooner than what I'm going to be able to plant in my garden. We actually have his and her garden. She's got her garden. I got my garden up on the hill where I plant on the flat, as we say. And I normally grow a little bit bigger garden than what she does, but we They're pretty good. I mean, she gets...
He grows it, but now he doesn't like to gather it.
Really?
Really, yeah.
You didn't bring all that up, did you?
Yeah. He'll grow it, take care of it, then when it comes time to gather it, except for corn. Now, you'll gather the corn.
Yeah, I do gather the corn and okra. I don't mind cutting okra.
Yeah.
But I'll pick you a flower every now and then.
Oh, yeah. I do get flowers.
Yeah. So we got watermelons, tomatoes. We got peppers, as we'll show you after a while, ready in the greenhouse. We're going to be planting some more to follow up as we have plants going on all during spring. So things is kicking around here. It's getting to be springtime in South Georgia before you know it.
I got something to show.
Oh, okay.
My one and only cabbage.
Yeah? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what variety it is, do you?
No, something Travis had up in the greenhouse. Personalized cabbage. That's
personalized cabbage is pretty nice, yeah. Yeah, you peeled it back and got it nice and pretty.
Well, yeah. Some of the leaves was a little messed up from all the rain. And Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. We love them Brussels sprouts.
Lost a lot due to the rain, but I was able to gather this much. Might cook them for dinner now.
Sounds good. All right, so let's move on. We're going to show y'all, or we want to talk about something that's kind of a buzzword in the gardening community that we hear a lot of, and that's sustainability or sustainable gardening. Now, as we think about this a little bit and you do a little research on it, you realize that it can be viewed as different meaning. There's not necessarily a true meaning of sustainable gardening. A lot of people, it's kind of a loose definition. A lot of people see it as different things. Now, I was going to ask you, what do you think it means? What does it mean to you?
Well, I was doing a little research.
Mm-hmm.
And first I thought it was sustainable, sustaining your dirt, your being vigilant with what you've got. But then as I looked at it more, it was more as really don't plant more than you can take care of, or more than you need, or more that you have funding for.
Interesting, because I see it totally different. So the way I see it, and some people, when I did this research on the Google, of course, Google's out there for everybody. A lot of people view sustainable as leaving the soil as better than what you first got there, leaving things better when you get through than when you started, which is a great goal to have. Now, the way I see sustainable garden is gardening with zero inputs or near zero inputs. And that means that garden being able to sustain on its own without any outside inputs. And that's a tough one. That's the way I see it, because when we talk about sustainable, I see it as that garden to be able to sustain without outside inputs or minimal outside inputs. You know, if there's one thing that this COVID thing has taught us, we need to be a lot more self-sustainable than we have been in the past. And how often we have took it for granted of being self-sustainable. Now, growing food within itself in a garden is a process of being sustainable, because you're growing food for yourself and your family. But being able to do it in a way that is sustainable maybe is a little different curve on that. And we're going to talk about that for just a minute. So think about you being able to garden with minimal amount of inputs. And we think about a couple of things out there, what we need. And we think about tools and supplies. Most of the tools that we use, once you buy them one time and you keep these tools, that is a sustainable product, because it can last years and years and years, especially if you buy good quality products and you take care of them. So that is a sustainable practice, is when you buy good tools and you don't have to replace them very often. Think about that. Another thing is pest control. Now, this is a tough one here, because with pest control, we pretty much rely on outside inputs to be able to treat those pest control issues that we have. Now, doing certain things like keeping a clean garden and do what we call cultural practices, clean garden, you know, when your plants is done, pull them up, get rid of them. Trying to do little things like that is a sustainable practice, because you're doing that without having to bring any inputs in. However, when we do have to spray the garden with insecticide or fungicide, we do have to obtain those inputs and put in there. So that's kind of a tough one on us right there. Another one's fertility. If we have to bring outside inputs in, such as our 20-20-20 or micro boost or any other fertilizer, then you're bringing those inputs from the outside in as an input to that garden, and that limits your sustainability of being totally sustainable. Now, that being said, if you have access to chicken manure, or if you have chickens, or you have manure on your homestead or your little farm, or you have a friend or whoever that has those, and you can obtain those, that is a great sustainable process for your fertility for your garden. So you could obtain those at no charge, put them in your garden, and it adds great fertility, carbon. We know it works great. So we got fertility, we got pest control. Now let's talk about seeds. With seeds, if you can save your seeds from year to year, that is another great sustainable practice that you have instead of having to bring seeds in every year. Now we sell seeds and we think it's a great thing that you buy seeds, and we try hybrids all the time and all that because they're readily available to us. You can order them on the internet, get them in there. But when you talk about true sustainability, the only way to be that way with seeds is to be able to save your seeds from year to year. If a catastrophic event happened so that you couldn't get those seeds, you would have your own seed bank, whether you had them stored up, some that you had bought, or whether you're saving your seed from year to year. So we have those. Now, one other little thing I want to touch on before we get off this subject is seed starting. We have a lot of people on our group out there, our Row by Row Facebook group, and you're not on there, you need to be there because there's a great abundance of knowledge on there that can help you. And we have some people on there that talk about soil blocking being a sustainable practice. And we talk about soil blocking, that's where you may have to do a little research on this if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about. But you take these blocks and you make them out of this particular type of potting soil and you plant your seeds in there. And they talk about that being a sustainable practice. Now, in my view, that is not a sustainable practice. And I'll explain why. Because you have to get those inputs brought in to make that soil. You have to have a recipe with green sand, a particular type of peat moss, and all kind of stuff to be able to make that soil. So whether you're using that or using something like our 162 tray or our seed starting kit that we'll show you in a minute that is made out of quality products that's going to last from years to years to years, there's no difference in either one of them as far as being sustainable. Now, if that's what you want to do is your soil blocking, which we don't care for, and I think we've made that pretty clear out there, we're not a big fan of soil blocking. Our good friend Lisa Ziegler is a proponent of it, and Lisa is a great abundance of knowledge on flower farming. I call her all the time and ask her questions about flowers. I treasure her advice. However, I differ with her on that. And I think that the 162s are the way we do our seed starting. It's just as sustainable as the seed blocking. Now, if you disagree with us, that's fine. That's just my opinion. Everybody is entitled to
one. She does do some of both.
She does do some of both.
Her sunflowers, she does.
They sell the soil blocking thing as a more sustainable process where I really don't think it is.
Okay.
You agree? It's good.
I agree.
You agree? Good deal. I thought you would. All right, so next week's show, where Travis is going to be back, and he's got looking forward to another guest from next week's show. Farmer Fredo is going to be here. Do you know Farmer Fredo?
I do. I know him from the Expo.
Farmer Fredo is a good friend of ours, and he is a guru at community gardens and school gardens. It's basically what Farmer Fredo does. So he's going to be here next week to share some of his insights on that. So that's going to be a great show. Look forward to that. So let's share some new varieties that we got this week that we just got on our website. How about that? First one here is a Serrano pepper. Am I saying that right? Serrano pepper?
I knew he was going to have trouble with this. You knew. Sitting here to correct.
Yeah, I know. Serrano pepper.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a pretty good sized pepper there. Another one is a grenade squash. Now this, if
Granada.
Maybe it's Granada. This is, if I'm not mistaken, this is a summer squash right here. And I have not grown this one. It's similar to the eight ball. Looks like it's a little bit more oblong. I have grown the eight ball before. Nice yellow squash. And what about a flat pumpkin?
Wow.
Flat so pumpkin right here, which would make a nice Halloween decoration there. Days of maturity, 85 to days, 90% germination rate. So there you have it, flat so pumpkin. And what about this right here? I'm excited about these Roma 2 bush beans.
We packed some of those the other night.
We did. Now, this is a flat bean, and for you folks that's ever lived up in the mountains or the hills, people up in the hills love flat beans. We used to grow a lot of them around here when I was a youngster. You don't see near as many flat beans anymore. I love flat beans. We all want to grow the French beans now, the round ones. The flat beans, to me, are packed full of flavor. So there you have a good...
Yeah, I grew up with those, too.
Yeah, the nice Roma bush bean, flat bean. And we started to get a few peas in. Got the white acre pea in. Y'all know about it. It's a little small pea. Everybody loves the white acre pea. Now, here is a new one. Pink half runner bean. You and I also packed some of these the other night. This is a... the bean inside of it, which looks kind of like a pea, but it is actually kind of small, and it's a darker pea once it dries out. But the half runner, we know it's a lot of name recognition, but these things are kind of pinkish. You could see there, they got a reddish, pinkish
color. And do you grow those on trellis?
You can. That's the way I would grow them. So I would grow them on a trellis. I've not made my decision to grow what beans I was growing this year, but I'm leaning toward these right here. Yep, I think that's going to be the one I grow. So there we have the new seeds for the week. All right, so we got a little something going on at the end of the show. We got a little special for folks that hangs around. We got a few Brickyard tomatoes, and we're going to tell people at the end of the show how they can get them. A little teaser there.
Teaser?
How about that? All right. So let's move on, and we got a couple of new products that we've been talking to you all about for the last few weeks that we're really excited about now, or as Travis would say. So I've been working on this project for at least a good 7 months.
You have.
Now I know it probably don't look like it, but this is quite an endeavor to have to bring all this in and put it together. We've done extensive testing with it, and we're excited about it. Now, to be honest with you, the way we know to bring on new products is when we look at our group or we get feedback from our customers and we see what people are struggling with, we try to develop a product that's going to solve that issue of what people are struggling with. And that's how I developed this product. So let's start with this one right over here first. We call this our Kitchen Garden Light Kit. We got it plugged up over there. So this is a smaller kit right here. Yeah, turn it on.
Ta-da.
Ba-boom. This is a smaller kit right here that we developed. It's got the grow lights on it. So you can adjust these grow lights. Whoa. Down low when your seeds first come up, or when you lift them up as they get bigger and bigger. And they got these little screws on them right there that twist in, that locks them in. Now, to start my plants, what I would use is not necessarily put them in here, but I would put them on a heat mat until they pop out of the soil. As soon as they pop out of the soil, that's when these grow light kits are going to come in handy. Now, what we have right here are herbs. And this particular model, as we call the Kitchen Garden Light Kit, is ideal for growing herbs. Now, one thing that I want us to really do this year is start using more herbs. You know, we've used some, but we've not cooked with herbs like I think we probably should. I think we're missing out on a lot there.
We are. I have some rosemary, of course, cilantro, which has done excellent this winter. We've never grown it in the winter. It's always the summertime. Some parsley, basil. I had a lot of basil last year.
Yep.
But I don't think I used it as much as I should.
No, and sage. Sage is a favorite of mine. And we got four different herbs right here that we have grown in here. And this is an ideal situation to grow these herbs in your garden, in your house, so you can have them easily accessible.
I think if you had them in your house, you would use them more.
I think you probably would have more right there at you.
Yeah. You'd see them.
So these are ideal. They're smaller pots right here, but you see the bottom right there have holes in there. And what's neat about this is this grow light system has a reservoir in the bottom and it has this little mat right here that comes up. Your plants sit on that and it's got holes in the bottom of the trays. So as these trays, how the root system gets down to that and say you don't water like you should, it will actually wick the moisture out of this mat right here, which is pretty neat. And then as you water your plants, this reservoir catches your water there. So this is ideal for that. Another thing it's great for is maybe growing some seedlings that you could tease apart, because these don't have individual cells on there. So it is possible that you could probably grow some like onion plants or leeks in there that you could actually tease apart after they come up. I think it's going to be ideal for growing microgreens and lettuces. And we're going to do a lot on microgreens in the next few months, working on some projects there. Growing microgreens in this right here and cutting and having fresh salad. You can also grow your lettuces in there. Having fresh salad anytime you want it, 12 months out of the year, I think is a huge benefit where you can eat fresh, healthy, heck, organic foods 12 months out of the year. From an herb standpoint, I just think it packs a lot of potential there.
And it makes your kitchen smell good, too.
Makes your kitchen smell good. What do you think this is?
Mm.
It's a little tangy.
Smells really good.
It does smell good. A little tangy on me there. There you have it, folks.
It tastes like almost like lemon.
Basil, maybe? It's not basil.
No, it's not basil, but it has a lemon taste to it.
We have these on the website now. I don't know exactly what the price is on there. They won't let me, they don't tell me prices a whole lot. It's very affordable. LED lights. Now, we made the decision to go with LED lights on these things because they last so much longer. The heat output is so much less. So the LED lights
and
they branded with Hoss here. Now, let's go over a couple things here. And these are on both kits. We'll show you the other kit. All these components right here are made in the UK by a company that we do business. We have a good relationship with them over there. It's a great company. These LED lights that you get underneath here are made in China. And before everybody goes ballistic on that, let me explain just a little bit. We did a lot of research trying to find a good USA LED light source, and we could not find one with the quality of these lights and the price point that we thought would be affordable to the average home gardener. Now, there is some LED lights out there just you can buy that's USA made that can get up there around $1,000. These quality lights right here are top notch. I promise you, we have done our research. I have done a lot of testing with them, but they are made in China. The fact remains, do we want to support USA companies? Heck yeah, because that's what we are. But a lot of things are just not able to source in the US right now. Maybe it will come back. Nuts and bolts is another thing. All our nuts and bolts come from China. Simple reason, nobody in the U.S. produces them anymore. If they were, heck, we'd buy them from them. But it's high, feel comfortable that it is a high-quality light there, LED, and there you have it.
And when would you leave the light on?
Okay, so what I do is I try to mimic the outside sunshine with the light. So in the morning time, as I come into the office, I turn the light on. And when I go home at night time, I turn it off.
So you don't leave it on all the time?
I don't leave it on all the time. No.
Okay. No. How often do you have to water it?
Oh, it's according to the humidity in your room. I water these probably about every other day, somewhere there.
What do you water it with?
Well, glad you asked that question. I water it with a little watering can that we're going to have on the site before long. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for them to come in. Now, this baby right here is a little bit bigger, so I'm going to have to struggle getting it around here. If I get too much in the way, I do apologize. We're limited on room right here. I hope everybody can see. Boom! There you go. Now, this one right here is our indoor seed starting kit. This one's a little bit different. It's a good bit bigger, as you can see. You know, the process is the same. You can lower these down when your seeds just come up to keep it from getting leggy, or you can raise them up. Hold on a minute. Let me not mess it up here. There we go. Or you can raise it on up. There we go. And it comes with four of these. Let's get this out of here where everybody can see. It comes with four of these. Let me get, show everybody that one right there. It comes with four 12 seed starting dividers in there. These, we call them inserts. And these inserts are inside a tray. And that tray, as the other one, has holes in the bottom so it can wick through this mat right here. There you go. So what this is right here, this is a bok choy. It's called China Star right there that we got going in there. Now, all these we're going to be transplanting in the garden. A lot of people, we realize, didn't need 100. Our 162 trays work great. But a lot of people don't need 162 trays, plants. So what we want to do is make it where people that wanted 12 or 24 to have an opportunity to be able to start their own plants, grow their own plants, and just grow a few of them if that's all they need.
Reuse
these? Heck yeah. They're very durable. It's a thick plastic. Now, these are not your throwaways, as we talked about a while ago. This is practicing sustainable gardening, because once you buy these babies right here, they'll last you a long, long time. You can see the tomatoes there we got growing. There's 12 tomatoes in this tray here, which, to be honest with you, is enough for most people, don't you think?
I do.
Pepper plants. There, got some orange. I planted them. I can't even read them right in there. Aren't you sure? And
aren't you sure?
And
no, that's not right.
I know what it is. Aren't you sure? About that. I am right. And Gypsy's on the back side there.
I think it's aren't you sweet.
Well, whatever. It's orange you anyhow. Yeah. So we got, I think these are broccoli right here. So you can grow your plants inside this. Now there again, once you get through growing your plants for the spring, this is what I think is so advantageous to these kids. You can use these to plant your lettuces and your microgreens
in. You could gather this lettuce right now.
Well, that's bok choy. You could if it was lettuce.
Yeah.
But you can gather that, and but you could turn around after you get through. Let's just say you through growing your spring starch. You can plant your lettuces. You can plant microgreens. Take these dividers out and plant your lettuces, microgreens in there, and you can have your fresh salads in here. So these things have been able to use 12 months out of the year. What about those cold winter days when you can't grow nothing outside? Still come clip and have you some microgreens or have you some good salad. We've grown some pretty nice lettuces in these.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you have it, folks. This is the indoor seed starting kits. There again, LED lights. We just think it's a great product. We're proud of it. And we're going to be doing, you're going to be seeing a lot more of these, because we're going to be able to show you in the future what all you can do with it, because it's just unbelievable what all you can, how all you can use these things, what you can do with them.
Right. And you've had these up in the office and they've done well.
I have. And what I did is I went and bought this little baker's rack from Home Depot, and it's 24 inches wide and it works perfect for these. So you can have your staging area with your heat mat on bottom. Once they pop through the next shelf, you got this one, and I use that other one on for the next shelf. And then the top on the baker's rack I use for my supplies, my extra trays and things like that. So we got them on the site. They sell them fast. If this is interesting to you, go out and get you one. I can promise you, you'll love them. We are real proud of them. It's a good durable product that I think will last you for a long, long time.
So all of that comes in one kit?
All of that comes in one kit. And they got a little, I failed to mention, it's got a little stand in there that lifts them out of the water reservoir so that they don't sit and stand in water, because that's a no-no. So they sit out of standing water, but you got water down in there, and that mat wicks it back up so that the plant can take it up once those root systems get down to the bottom of that. What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
You proud of me?
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you.
You go, boy.
You did good.
Did good. We got some questions, folks.
Neither one of us have our glasses on.
Neither one of us. We're just going to have to make do. How about that?
If my arms are long enough.
All right. And the first one said, you want to read the questions?
Travis, have you figured out how to, how you're going to trellis your tomatoes this year? Are you going to use posts, or do you have something else up your sleeve?
Well, my name's not Travis, but I'll do my best to answer the questions. Most of the time, we don't use T-post on tomatoes except for the Florida weave. We don't put the T-post right next to the plant and tie it to that. We use a T-post in between our tomato plants, and we use what we call the Florida weave. There's a lot of videos out there, and we got one or two up showing the Florida weave. That's the way we grow tomato plants if we're growing a good number of them, say 10 or 15 or 20. Now, if we're just growing one or two, we may use something like a cage or a different system. But the Florida weave with the metal T-post in between the tomato plants do wonderful.
I've used wooden stakes down in my raised beds in the Florida weave.
Yeah, use what you got. Mm-hmm. How about the next one?
Okay, this is for Greg. I have 4 30 by 30 plots with 10 runways between. Do I need 4 different soil tests, or will one accommodate a cumulative test do?
Huh, that was tough on you, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think one test to do for you, soil samples, I forgot what the raise, but it's one per acre, several acres. So most of the time, one in a garden situation, one soil test will tell you what you need to know, because there's just a few things you want to measure. You want to measure your potassium, your phosphorus, and your pH, basically. I mean, you can look at things like calcium, magnesium, and I just seen one the other day, somebody posted from down in Florida, and their calcium was very, very high. And I guarantee if we take one here, our calcium is always off the chart with soil tests. But you want to check your potassium, your phosphorus, and your pH. And normally, water and soil samples are plenty to do that. Now, I will say this right here, and I've done this in the past. If I got a weak area in my garden, a garden that's not performing like everything else is, I will take two soil samples, one of that weak area, and I will take one of a good area, and I will mark the sample a little bit different. I normally do it with a G and a B, good and bad. And then I will compare the two to see if I got something out of balance here that I can straighten out. I've done that a lot over the years. So in that situation, you have two soil samples where you're measuring them against one another. And it really works well when you can compare them right there and you can say, well, okay, I got a problem here and I don't have a problem here. So to answer your question, normally one for a general look at your soil. But if you're trying to measure those weak areas, you can do two or maybe three if you got different weak areas.
For those that don't know, where would you take the soil sample?
Where we live, you have to carry it to your local county extension agent, and they'll send it off for you, and they do you a little charge there. Now, there are some private companies out there that you can Google that you can send to, and most of these private companies are good, but a lot of your universities provide that as a service for the state residents at a minimal charge.
Okay.
All right. I got one for you. How about that, Ms. Hoss?
All right, I'll try.
I'm in South, it comes from Moogle Munchies. I'm in Southeast Louisiana and lost all my starts. Do I have time to start over?
Yes, you do. And that frost date can vary a week or two, so.
You know, a lot of people over in Mississippi, Texas, down in there was a lot of commercial greenhouses got wiped out. I'm expecting there to be a huge shortage of some plants down in that part of the world. So you know what you have to do when you have lemonades.
Yeah, need to get on the ball.
When you have lemons, what do?
Make lemonade.
That's right.
But you need to get on the ball and do it now.
Yeah, you need to get started now. Now you can continue, and we do this a lot. So in 2 weeks later, we'll plant another plant. I mean, you're going to be a little, you can have a little later planting in the garden. It works fine. Sometimes that's a great insurance policy to have, is to plant you planting. 2 weeks later, have some more. 2 weeks later, have some more. We'll do that all the way up until May. And then we'll give it a little break and then we'll start our fall garden.
Okay. Question for you.
All right.
This is from Tannen Bomb Girl. Can you repeat what the complete disease control, 1 teaspoon per gallon,
mentioned is brand description. Yep. How about that?
All right.
So what I was talking about, and I think this was on last week's show, was called Pest Control Box, was the Monterey product that we carry. And it's called Complete Disease Control, Monterey Complete Disease Control. And it's a great product. It's what they classify as a biofumigant. And it's a beneficial product that colonizes on your root system there, also on your leaves, so you can spread it as a foliar. But what the great thing about it is, which is kind of weird, is you can do a soil drench on it, and it helps those roots colonize this beneficial bacteria that helps prevent it from getting root diseases such as Pythium. It actually even supposed to help with blight. It helps with a number of things. But it has a different mode of action than we're used to with the old fungicides, with some of these protectants and things like that. And this is actually a product that works along with nature as it being named a biofungicide. It's a great product. I used it last year on the my tomatoes. On the drench and the foliar application is the same rate, 1 teaspoon per gallon. So you can just simply mix it up into a 5 gallon bucket. Pour it on your plants, such as your pepper plants, your tomato plants. Very safe product, so you don't have to worry about if your dog gets into it or your child gets into it. There's no worries there. It's an organic product. It's a good one to be used out there, and we carry it on our site. All right.
I didn't say who asked the soil test. That was Gary Manning.
Yep. All right, so the next one is coming from old Centerfire One. What does he want to know?
y'all going to grow any peanuts this year?
I'm not. I don't know where Travis is or not. We carry a brand of peanuts called Wynn Peanuts, and Wynn is a great variety for roasting. It makes one of those big peanuts. You know when you go to the ballpark and you buy those peanuts that's roasted? Mm-hmm. This Wynn Peanut makes one similar to that. Actually, it is grown by the same company that makes those, remember those Hampton peanuts you see in the grocery store? Or if you go, you ever been to the ballpark and seen those peanuts and they have the logo of the baseball team on there? This same company that we get this Wynn Peanut from is the grower of those peanuts. So it is a big, nice roasting peanuts. Now, peanuts are going to test your patience a little bit. They take a while to grow. And I'm not, they don't fit into my gardening scheme this year because I'm downsizing just a little bit, changing around. I don't know where Travis will grow them up, but I think it's around 120 days or longer on peanuts. So they do test you a little bit. Weed issues can be a problem because they are such a long maturing plant that you have to take care of them for a long time, but well worth the effort. I mean, hey, what's better than some good roasted peanuts?
Could you boil them?
You could boil them, but it's not necessarily a boiling peanut.
It's a roasting
peanut. All right, so that goes to questions. Let's get back to the little surprise of the week.
Mm.
How about them Brickyard tomatoes? So this is the deal, folks. Brickyard tomato has been discontinued, but we found a few, and we probably got 100 packs of Brickyard tomatoes. Now, down below in the description is going to be a link. You have to follow that link to go to the Brickyard tomato to purchase it. You cannot go to our site and find it. It's all hidden up out there in the internet. We got a blanket over it. And the only way you can get to it is through this link. So if you go to this link and you don't buy it and you go somewhere else, you can't go back to it.
The first hundred. Then it's gone.
They all gone, and they will never be any more Brickyard tomatoes that we know of. So we got 100 packs. You got to go to the link below to go there to purchase them. So if you've been hankering for some, there you go. You can go get your Brickyard tomatoes.
A lot of people calling about them.
Yep, a lot of people want them, and they are resistant to gray leaf spot. It is a, and we've touted them for a long time because we've sold them for the last couple of years. It's a very resistant variety. It's a very vigorous plant. They have probably outgrow any, as far as growing any other plant, tomato plant that I've grown, they probably have as much vigor as any of them.
You saving some out for us?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I planted them last year. I'm switching over growing something different this year. Because you know how I am. I like to plant something different every year. I'm going to plant some red snapper, probably some roaster, and I got to plant me another Bella Rosa or two because I got to have some Bella Rosas.
What about those mountain vineyards?
Oh, I'm going to plant some mountain vineyards, but the mountain vineyards is going to be a different type of tomato. It's not a slicer. A lot of the Brickyard is.
So what was the little cherry tomatoes?
Mountain vineyard. Yeah, we're going to grow those. Those are great. All right, that'll do us. Well, thank you, Ms. Holtz, for sitting in for Trav. I think you made him proud.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you did. All right, folks, thank you for watching. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a great time.
Be sure to subscribe,
yep.
Share, like.
Smash, as Travis says. Smash. All right.
Ring that bell.
All that good stuff. Thanks for watching. Have a great week.
Bye.